I think everybody understands and realizes that the two biggest Christian holidays every year are Christmas and Easter, and they're obviously linked together. Christmas is all about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we need to remember that he was born to die. He came to earth from heaven for a particular mission. He would be the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. And Easter is all about how Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for all of our sin, and then was raised from the dead. He has victory over sin and death, and he's alive today. But the question, of course, is, what difference does that make in my life today? Whether we're a believer or not a believer this morning, it's an important question for us to answer. What impact does the risen Christ make in my life today? And I believe there are at least three huge needs that we all have that Jesus, the risen Jesus, provides abundantly for all three. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father God, thanks again for Easter Sunday. Thank you for the new life that we can experience through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for every person that's here this morning. Thank you for the worship time and all who led us. And I pray right now that our minds, our hearts, our lives would be open to you, the risen Christ, to consider what you can mean in our lives today, regardless of where we might be in our spiritual journey with you. So, Father, we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. These three needs. The first one is the whole need for hunger and thirst. The second need is we need light for direction in life. And then finally, we all need a source of security and significance. How does Christ, the risen Christ, help meet these needs that we all experience? Well, first of all, hunger and thirst. We all realize, if you read the Bible, it's pretty clear that God wants his followers, all of us who follow after God, to help provide physical food, water, and clothing to those in need. This is why Chinese Community Church supports ministries and organizations like the Union Gospel Mission. Every month, a part of our missionary support goes there, and they do a wonderful ministry to help men and women in need in this region. We also are partners with New Hope Church that has a weekly food bank program. Some of you have noticed the large bin right outside that door. It's a donation bin for gently used clothing, gently used toys, non-perishable food items, and that all goes to New Hope and helps their weekly food bank ministry. We also support World Vision, one of the largest Christian organizations in the world that is meeting needs around the world. And a program that actually Eddie Silva helped us start up about 3 years ago. Those plastic tubes are on the table in the far back with the resources. If you're interested, it's called Change for a Change. And basically, just collecting change, we fill up those plastic containers, and then we cash them in and we donate the money to World Vision for their fresh water projects around the world. And we've already raised probably over $2,000 in the last 3 years. If you're interested in taking one of those plastic tubes, feel free. The plastic tubes on your right on the table are for you to take. The one on the far left by itself, by the Bibles, if you want to donate something, feel free as well. But that's called Change for a Change. These are all important programs and ministries to help needy people around the world and in our region. Remember the miracles Jesus performed? The feeding of the 5,000? That was physical food for people who were hungry. Over thousands of hungry people, and that's the only miracle that Jesus performed that's recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I got to admit, most of us here today probably have never experienced true hunger due to a lack of food. I'll be very honest with you. Confession, those of you who've been around here a while, I've been here, this is my ninth year, I've got the opposite problem. And, you know, there's an abundance of food. And I think I've gained at least a pound a year that I've been here at the church. And afterwards, we have some wonderful food available for us. And I hope you all enjoy that. You won't see me eating much, if anything, not only because I'm trying to lose a little weight, but because my suit pants are about on the verge of popping, it might injure someone. So, you know, if you notice I'm not eating, it's for a very specific reason. Now, the only times I've been hungry, I got to admit, the only times I've been hungry are volitional choices to be hungry because I'm anticipating a wonderful buffet, like a seafood buffet on a cruise or at a casino, and I'll intentionally not eat as much for breakfast or lunch just so I can eat more at that buffet. That's a whole different kind of hunger, okay? I mean, most of us have never experienced real hunger. But there's a hunger that actually goes beyond physical food. And Jesus talked about it during his earthly ministry, and it's a particular need that every one of us have, whether we're consciously aware of it or not. But this is why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He said that in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. It's so important for us to understand. This is why some people, it seems like they have so much in terms of material or physical or monetary wealth. They have all these things that the world says, that's what we need to be happy and fulfilled. And somehow, there's something still missing. Because Jesus is addressing a need that is deep within every one of us that goes beyond the physical need of hunger and thirst. It talks about the need in our souls, in our spirits. And Jesus himself is the one who can satisfy that. The risen Jesus is alive today. And if we will put our faith and trust in him, we will never experience that deep sense of hunger and thirst in our souls, because he will satisfy it. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, remember that he had three temptations by the devil in the wilderness before he began his earthly ministry. The first temptation, Satan wanted him because he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, obviously very hungry physically. Satan said, turn those rocks into bread. He could have done that. But then Jesus replies, man shall not live on bread alone, physical bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's talking about our need for a spiritual connection with the living God. And he is the means to that connection. He is the way. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The risen Christ is the bread of life, and he is the source of living water. Through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we don't have to hunger or thirst in our spirit and in our soul. But there's more. The risen Christ not only satisfies our hunger and thirst, he's also providing light for direction. Now, I think we've all been in places of great darkness. I wonder how many of us have ever been in a cave tour. Raise your hand. You've been on a cave tour. Okay? You know, real dark. How many of you have ever been to Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico? Okay, see a few hands. It's one of the largest caverns in the country. Okay, I had a chance to go there a number of years ago. But there's a certain point, I don't know if they still do it because it might, you know, cause some people to have a heart attack, but they warn the whole tour group at some point in the tour, they're going to turn off all the lights and you can experience pitch darkness in a way that perhaps we've never experienced before. And I still remember when they turned off the lights, you know, you could hold your hand like inches from your face and you wouldn't even know it was there. You know, just you will feel the darkness. And, you know, there are times when maybe we foolishly go without a light when we have lights. There was a time I was camping in Yosemite years ago in the valley, and it was a rather dark evening. I had to get up to use the restroom. Went from the tent, and I saw the light by the bathroom, and I thought, I don't need a flashlight. You know, I just kind of follow that light. And so I'm walking slowly, and it's very dark, and all of a sudden, I could sense something large moving very close to me. And I froze, and then there was a campfire in the distance, and I could just see a little bit of light. It was a bear. It was a bear walking. I almost walked right into it. You know, most bears are going to leave you alone if you don't mess with them. If you bump into a bear, however, you know, all bets are off. So it's kind of like, I had flashlights in the tent. Why didn't I take... You know, flashlights are a wonderful thing, aren't they? And the high-tech stuff, and I got to admit, you know, if you're kind of a nerd, sometimes, like, I love these little devices. This is one of these tactical flashlights now. If you look back, look at the side up here. Look how bright this is. One AA battery, and it even has one of those zoom things so you can pinpoint it like this, or you can go, you know, more useful, kind of a wider, broad light. One AA battery, tactical flashlight. These are really cool. Enough of a commercial. I'm not selling those later. You know, flashlights. You know, it's great to have a flashlight, but even with one AA battery, eventually that battery's going to run out. Or you may lose it, whatever. When we have the greatest source of light in our lives, that's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as I said earlier, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light that can guide us and direct us in life. We all face important decisions in life, and we need God's wisdom. This is all made available to us through a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. It's interesting because Jesus not only said, I am the light of the world, but he talked to his followers and he said, you are the light of the world. And so every one of us who follows the light, Jesus Christ, we can become light for others to point them to the light, which is Jesus Christ himself. And that's the role that we can play in life, is to little by little, as we share, as we experience and share God's love, we can point people to Jesus Christ. The risen Christ is not only our ultimate source for hunger and thirst, but also for light, for direction in life. The third and final need that I'll just mention today is that Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, is our ultimate source of security and significance. What gives us a sense of security today? Is it our investment portfolio? Is it material possessions? You know, the longer we live, the more we realize how uncertain things are in this world. How about real estate? That's a good investment. That's a good, solid, hopefully secure investment. Well, again, if we've been alive for a while, we know we've lived through ups and downs in the real estate market. How about savings and loans? That's a pretty safe investment. Unless, of course, there's a scandal, in which case some people lost their life savings, even as recent as 1989. Remember, some of us who were older, 1989, there was a bailout, a federal government bailout for Lincoln Savings and Loan. It cost the taxpayers $3 billion. And thousands of people lost their life savings. Savings and loan, that's not a speculative, you know, high-risk kind of investment. Where is our security? And for those who are older like myself in our 60s, we start thinking about Social Security. How secure is Social Security if that's all we had to live on? Really? Social Security. How secure is that? And then we realize, you know, there's nothing in this world that can bring us an absolute guarantee of security. Nothing. We need to find some other source that can bring us ultimate security in life. What about significance? What gives us a sense of significance of who we are? Is it our education? Is it our popularity or good looks? Is it our talents and skill levels? Is it our material possessions? There's a common saying that says, it's not what we know, but it's who we know that really counts. There's a lot of truth in that saying, isn't it? I shared this story years ago in another sermon, but you know, over 37 years of ministry, I've had the privilege of getting to meet a lot of interesting people, Christian people, who have all different walks of life. Years ago, I met a man who was very successful as a stockbroker with Goldman Sachs in San Francisco. And I was teaching actually a Bible lesson in a nearby evening institute, and he was one of my students. And he invited me to come have lunch with him one day. So I went, you know, followed the address, real beautiful building, beautiful office, went to his office, and there are like two layers of admins that you had to get through to get to him, to his office. And as soon as I said, he said, well, who are you? I said, I'm Lewis Lee. I'm here to have lunch with my friend at Intercom, you know, through the... get marched through the first, you know, barricade to the second barricade, and then he opens up his office, this huge office, you know, it's a corner office with all kinds of windows and beautiful scenery and stuff, and he had his feet up on his desk. He's puffing a big cigar, you know, and he sees me come through the door, and he immediately takes his feet off his desk, you know, and stands up and asks one of his admin to get me some coffee, and it's like, and then he takes me to this real expensive place for lunch, and I'm with this guy thinking, wow, this is kind of a nice life, you know. It's really, really, people were just so respectful to him and honoring him, and I thought, I'm just hanging along because I'm his friend. I'm his friend. And, you know, you think, wow, you know, it's who you know. Who you know. It's not just what you know, it's who you know. But if you're with somebody really, really special, somebody that can give us a sense of significance because we know them, we have a relationship with them, we mean something to them. There is no greater relationship, no person we could possibly know that will give us a greater sense of significance than the risen Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the creator of the universe. He's more high-powered than any executive we could possibly be friends with. And he is the one who offers us today a whole new life through personal faith and trust in him. That relationship with Jesus Christ is the greatest source of security and significance because it's never-ending and it's unconditional. The Bible talks about how God loves us so much that he demonstrates his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even at my worst, God was at his best, and the risen Jesus is the one who provides this incredible security and significance because it's unconditional and it's forever. Other things can change in life. We don't even know what's going to happen next week, let alone 20, 30, 40 years from now. But if we have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we can have the assurance of security and significance forever because of God's incredible love for us. Just remember, there's three simple points in what's called the gospel, the good news. And I've shared this before, and some have heard it before, but let me just repeat it again real quickly. Three things to remember. There's a problem. The problem is sin that separates us from the living God. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from him. The problem of sin is solved by God, who made the provision of the Savior. The problem of sin, the provision of the Savior, that is Jesus Christ. He died for our sin, rose from the dead. He's alive today. But then finally, there's a personal decision. The problem of sin, provision of a Savior, a personal decision. Everybody knows John 3:16, you've heard it before. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a decision that we each need to make. Regardless of what our family background, regardless of what our church background or connection might be, if we're here today and we're not sure if we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's something we can do even as I close in prayer. It's a very simple prayer, just to God. He knows our hearts. And say, God, whether I've been in church all my life or this is my first time in church that I've ever been in a church, doesn't matter. Do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? And say, God, I want to know you. I want to receive your free gift. I want to experience this new life, the risen Christ. And right now, I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm not deserving of the great gift of eternal life. But it's your gift to me, and I receive it by faith in Jesus Christ. Today can be the day of salvation if you put your faith and trust in him. He meets our greatest needs in life, whatever it might be, hunger and thirst, the light for direction, security, and significance. As I close in prayer, I trust that every one of us here today would have that personal relationship with the risen Christ. He's alive today to make all the difference in the world. Let's close in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father God, thanks again for Easter Sunday. And for some, there are family traditions that are wonderful, that are such a blessing. But Father, I pray that each and every one of us here today, regardless of what our background might be, regardless of what our experience might be with church or the Christian faith, that if we have any uncertainty in our lives, that right now, young or old, regardless of, again, what our experience has been, that, Father, we would come to faith in you, that we would put our faith and trust in the risen Christ, to believe that he is the Son of God, that he died for our sin and rose from the dead, and that we might begin this never-ending relationship, a personal relationship with you, the living God. And so, Father, that's our prayer, and we commit the remainder of this service to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.